This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi, truth in engineering.
Well, Annika Sorenstam has won more tournaments worldwide than any other female player, winner of 10 major championships, Player of the Year 8 times, the only female golfer to shoot 59 in competition. It's always great to have Annika Sorenstam back on the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Annika.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Sure, my pleasure. Belatedly, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Does anybody, I know the kids get you something, but do you get gifts for your birthday?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I get from my closest and some of the friends that came over. So, but I mean, to me, it's when you get older, it means less. It's more fun with when the friends come and share it with you and create new memories and so forth. But yeah, it's always a nice little surprise. And believe it or not, there's always something that I want on my list and things that I could need in the kitchen or just in general.
Speaking of, is there any way, if Mike wanted to throw you a surprise birthday party, could he pull that off on you?
Yes, he could. He's pretty good at that. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that, is snoop around trying to figure out what's going on. He could. There's a lot of things he could do. I just, sometimes I'm a little naive. I just keep going. So, yeah, he could absolutely do that.
See, that's a surprise. I think you'd be so focused that you'd just kind of see the stuff going on and you'd be curious.
I'm always curious, but, I'm also very focused on the things I do. So, I don't know. The thing is, he doesn't do it. He doesn't surprise me, every single week. So when he does, it makes it even more special.
Okay. I had David Graham on the show earlier this morning, new member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. You were part of that selection committee. Did you like the experience? Were you pleased with the outcome?
Oh, absolutely. I was certainly in favor of the new changes, the new criteria, and of course, just doing it every other year. And I was also very flattered to be on the kind of the final committee. And I remember we had our call, and there was a few candidates that we needed to discuss. And I didn't really think it was going to be that difficult. You think that there are standouts, but there are some. But when you start looking at other people's achievements and what they've done, it's very hard to start separating and put them in perspective, especially, if they play golf and had their peak, 30, 40 years ago compared to today. And, how do you compare a major with, other tournaments and playing overseas? It was, you look at them and go, I think they all deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So, but I'm certainly, happy for David, what he has done. He's just an incredible man himself.
Yeah, he thought having some of the former players and somewhat contemporary players to him on the committee helped. He thought you could at least you guys would appreciate his accomplishments.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he has done so much from a global perspective. I mean, not just in the U.S., but from a global perspective under such a long period of time. The longevity he's had in his career and he has overcome and so forth. So, like I said, there's some players you just, it's automatic, and he certainly was one of them. And I was excited just to be part of the ceremony when we went to St. Andrews this past July. And, obviously he brought his whole family and just to see how much it means to them, all the hard work they put in all these years and then to get recognized. And, it's very special.
This is not a question I can ask of many players. I'm thinking of Jordan Spieth when I ask this. Coming off the year that he had, you had a lot of years like his. Is it difficult sometimes to get fired up for it all again? How were you able to do that?
Well, I think, early in my career was, it was just, that was, some of the goals just came very easily. And I was, obviously very happy about that. And I was extremely motivated. And, winning one tournament made me want to win another. And that made me put more time on the range or more time in the gym to really just keep on going. It was just, there was nothing better. And, you know, I was obviously, the confidence was at my peak. I would go to every tournament and I believed in myself. I believed I could win every week. And, you know, that's really important to have. So, you know, I was very focused. I mean, that was what was important in my life, you know, and from the age 23 to, you know, 38, that's all I focused on. And of course, you know, after, in the end of my career, you know, I start looking at other things and, you know, the motivation starts to slip a little bit. I'd achieved what I wanted to achieve. But, you know, early on in the career, you're very hungry and you're so excited to be out there and just compete against the very best. So you just got to trust yourself and keep on going.
We're talking with World Golf Hall of Famer Annika Sörenstam. How did you know that it had slipped a little bit? How did you know that you weren't as motivated?
Well, I stand on the range and I would start thinking about other things. You know, I would start, you know, visualizing, you know, my businesses, and I would start thinking about, I got to do this when I'm done practicing. And, you know, my focus wasn't on that particular shot. You know, my focus wasn't on this, you know, on this hole that I was playing. And that's, you know, that's when I got honest to myself and said, you know what, you know, are you really here or are you just more physically here but not mentally here? And and also just not having the desire to go out there early in the morning or pushing a little extra in the gym. I mean, all the things that you need, that it takes to be the very best day after day and certainly week after week. And, you know, I was just looking in the mirror and said, you know, is this really what you want to do nowadays? And I think that once I realized that it wasn't, you know, it's okay. You can only push yourself for so long and for so hard.
Were you ever tempted to make change? I don't remember you being a big tinkerer with your swing. Did you make many swing changes?
No, I'm not a big tinkerer in general. I like to say if things work, I like to stick to it. I do like to improve what I have. And I always felt like my bases of the basics in my golf swing were there. It was just, you know, trying to combine it with getting a little stronger, you know, getting a little bit more arc in my backswing because now I had the strength so I can generate some more power, maybe a little quicker rotation. But those were about the only things. I mean, we all have bad habits or common mistakes that we keep falling back to. And, you know, my aim was one of them. I always have to make sure that I aim correctly. And also sometimes I got a little lazy in my backswing. I would lift up my arms instead of just, you know, shifting the weight and turning. So there were some habits that keep crawling in there that, you know, you try to stop as soon as you realize that. And so, I mean, I knew my tendencies. I knew what I, you know, if I hit a, you know, a low fade, I knew what I was doing. I can pretty quickly fix that. So that was very helpful, just trusting my swing and knowing my swing. So, yeah, I never felt like I had to change it. It was, it worked pretty well under pressure.
I don't think I've ever asked you this. Were you superstitious when you played? Did you always mark your ball with something special? Were you always eat the same thing on when you played?
No, but, you know, I have routines, and I don't think routines and superstitious are the same things, but, you know, I would have routines, a warm-up routine, a pre-shot routine. I mean, I would try to get, you know, enough sleep the night before and just being more in the same routine, just getting me to get in the right frame of mind, and also just body-wise, being ready. But no, I wasn't one of those players that had to wear the same shirt the next day if I had a good round or go back to the same restaurant. Or, I mean, I hear a lot of players, you know, they're that way, but I never, no, I believe I created my own luck. But I would say if I had a routine that works, I certainly wouldn't change it.
The superstitions, you think that's a little silly?
No, I don't. I can see why people have it. I mean, I happen to have a father-in-law that's very superstitious, and, you know, it worked for him. So, but, you know, I'm not like that. I mean, it's just never occurred to me that, you know, just because somebody said, you know, great putt, that means, oh, you know, you jinxed it or something like that. It never crossed my mind. But I can see how other people do. It's kind of fun to see people being like that and how important it is. And this makes me giggle watching them.
What's the superstition that Jerry has that makes you smile?
Oh, Jerry has a lot. It's certain coins in your pocket and some of the things that you say. And I mean, we talk about it now or laugh about it now. But, you know, my husband, who's, you know, Jerry's son, you know, he'll be out there on the golf course and he knew what he could say and what he can do. So early on in our dating period, he would do the same thing he did for Jerry. And I obviously, I could care less. So he was, you know, but that's how he was brought up, and making sure that, you know, keep Jerry happy and play well. And he certainly did play well.
But before I let you go, I always like to ask you about the Academy. How's the Annika Academy coming along?
Well, thanks for asking. We're doing really well. You know, this is our season. October through May, I would say, is a peak season where people want to maintain their games, or certainly in the spring they want to come and fine-tune it for the season. So, you know, we're doing a lot of club fits. We're doing a lot of packages where I'm involved, play with the guests. And as a matter of fact, I played last week with some of our guests and did a clinic. So, no, it's a good time to come to Orlando and play some golf.
She is Annika Sorenstam. Annika, I always appreciate the time. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I always appreciate
it. Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to have you. Thank you.